Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, we can take it there. I love the way you smell and the way you wear your hair. We can go around the world, maybe everywhere. Shining brighter than a diamond, baby girl, you wear.
Rock your locks, rock your locks. Rock your locks, rock your locks. Rock your locks, rock your locks. Rock your locks, rock your locks.
You be on hot. I see you looking real good with your lock knots. You locked up like we about to skip bail. She rock a updo with a fishtail, dabbles and such. And it looks so good, she like, please don't touch. I love when you rock them curls, and this is for all my girls who
rock your locks, 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 rock your locks,
More than my best friend. We can talk about anything to the end. Sometimes we don't know where to begin. Around the world, baby girl, like a whirlwind. Make her say wow, like we going downtown. After what she finna call, she said now. Like a superhero, I give her the pow. And I'ma put it on my baby till we pass out. While I rock your locks,
rock your locks, rock your locks, rock your locks, baby.
Five tacos, a cheese, and a large soda. That's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Quiet!
And the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, be quiet though.
Oh, okay. Hey everyone, this is Yanni Ray, and you are tuned in to Dreadful Thoughts 101 Talk Radio. We are discussing tonight, yes, we all know, we've talked about the election, we've talked about which candidate to pick. We've talked about who's supporting who. But the one thing that we haven't talked about is the black agenda. What is our agenda in this election? What is our standpoint when we know that neither candidate has really stood for any of our personal issues? We know our children are being gunned down in the street. We know that we are being treated unfairly, unjustly. What are our demands? What are our issues? What are the things that we need to do going into this presidential election, into this new era of whichever president we're going to have? What do we need to do as black people? So we'll be joined today by a salon owner, Cynthia Baxter, out of South Carolina. Cynthia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, so we just, you know, as a business owner, as a parent, you have sons, you have daughters, you know, what do you feel is, you know, what is our standpoint? What are you going to tell your children going into the next 4 years with one of these people as our president?
It's hard to know what to tell kids nowadays. You tell them to do the right thing, things still happen in a negative way. They're still getting shot down in the street, no repercussion. Hopefully, depending on which candidate gets elected, we'll start to see some type of difference. Whether it's going to be positive or negative. The only thing I can tell my children is to try to obey the law, comply, and don't put yourself in a position where you're forced to be gunned down or you're forced to be in a confrontation with police or anyone else. It's a scary time for us.
Right, and I mean, like, okay, because we know that there is, sometimes there's no way to avoid what may happen, because a lot of these people who are, let's just say, being gunned down by police, they are innocent and they haven't given any reason for the police to do so. So when we have, let's just say, a candidate like Trump who says stop and frisk work really well for him, he believes that stop and frisk worked, you know, perfectly, and it's just clear that he doesn't relate to our agenda at all. You know, there's not always a way that we can say, you know, do this and you'll be safe. You know what I mean? So I just feel as black people right now, we really need to come together and maybe set an agenda and maybe a set of rules, you know, just between us, that we will use to keep our kids safe in these next 4 years to come. And I think it's really important for us to find out what we can do to get some of our views and our agendas and our concerns looked at by, you know, the higher politicians like presidents and senators and things like that. What do you think what might be some ways that we could get that going?
The first thing we need to understand is we need to start dealing with, we as a people need to start understanding our government and the way it works. A lot of people focus more on the presidential election than any other election. We need to first start with our local government. That's our first line of defense. When we start learning how the system works, we need to start using that to our advantage. I think our problem as a people is we are not knowledgeable. We go by the stuff that we hear in the media. We go by the stuff that we hear on the streets. But we need to start educating ourselves.
Hold that thought 1 second. I got a caller from the 404 caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Possibly Donna Bonaparte, 4484 number.
Can you hear me?
Hello, caller.
Can you hear me?
I can hear
hello?
You. I'm asking. Hello?
Oh, okay. Hey, this is Donna Bonaparte, Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Donna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm glad to have you call in today. I am very interested in what you have to say.
Okay, so
First of all, I'm a business owner here in Atlanta, and I do taxes, predominantly taxes, but anything around finances, I guess. So, you know, I heard your issues and stuff, and so my answer centers around finances. You know, I tell people this all the time, and they may, I don't know, take offense to it, but I think once we get our money right, where we can buy politicians like everybody else, I think that then the game changes. And so I say that to say, first of all, we need to understand capitalism, okay, and how that plays out in a capitalistic way. And so I think that so when I listen and I notice people talk about what is Trump going to do for us, what is Hillary going to do for us, and they're not really speaking to our interests, we have to learn how to take that into our own hands. And it starts with getting our money right. Get your mind right, get your money right.
When you say getting our money right, and we look at how much the black dollar, how much power it actually has that's going into the wrong hands, you know, what are some ways that we could kind of redirect where the money is going? I wouldn't say that our money is not necessarily right. I think it's being channeled. You know, they say that the Chinese dollar passes through Chinese hands maybe 20 times before any other race, and ours, the next hand it passes into, is out of the black race. So what would be some ways that we could maybe, you know, tap on that to get us spending our money with us? And not only that, not only spending our money with us, but on the same agenda, in a sense, so that we do go to Congress as a unit. You know, what are some ways you think that we could use finance to get that done?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that is so typical of us as a people, we spend. Okay, we don't invest, we spend. And so my philosophy with that is, okay, if you are spending, and I'm just using, you know, Nike's as an example.
Right.
We're running spend money with Nike, but what if we invested so now that we own 51% of the interest of Nike? So every time a dollar is spent with Nike, it produces a check back to us. We've got to learn how to invest and invest such to the tune that we control what goes on in our neighborhood. So now we got 10 people together and we all bring our 20,000 together and we buy this block, then that's how we control our neighborhood. But it's got to start with, and the reason I say change your mindset is because we've got to, you know, stop always the language of let's spend our money. We got to spend our money. And, I mean, I'm not saying don't spend your money with the black business down the street. I'm not saying that, but at the same time, we've got to not spend every dime we get. We got to learn how to invest so we could take part in this game of capitalism like everybody else.
Right. Wait, could I comment? Could I comment in? Could I chime in?
Please.
Well, hello, caller.
I'm sorry. The conversation was so intriguing. I wanted to jump right in. I apologize. I just wanted to drop a little insight.
Let us know who you are and where you're calling from.
How you doing? This is .com calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I do music.
Atlanta's in the building tonight. Okay.
All right. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. I'm from Newark, New Jersey, though, but I'm by way of Atlanta. I'm on this call. You know what I mean? But what I wanted to add, though, was basically as far as my standpoint as a young black male coming up in America, you know what I mean? I think that a lot of the fundamentals need to be instilled at a younger age. Like as far as the, let's say, the 25 to an up age group, we're kind of basically already accustomed to what we're accustomed to because that's how we came up and that's what we're used to. But I think that right now we need to focus on instilling information into the children instead of us.
Well, when you say information, what information specifically are you speaking of? Are you saying financial information? Are you saying
financial,
the voting system?
Financial. I mean, as far as the voting, as far as with the finances, honestly, the numbers on the money, they represent the families that the money goes to. So either way we do it or spend it or turn it, the money goes goes back to those, you know what I mean? It goes right back to the people who really own it, the hierarchy, so to speak, or whatever. But we need to be able to instill that into our children, the value or just how to take advantage of their finances that they come across, because I believe that us, at this point in time, we're already kind of set in our ways. I think we need to look more to the future instead of trying to change the minds of people who are already in there.
So you're saying that basically the children are the future, and we now need to come up with a system for our kids that's going to make changes in the future situation.
In the future, because we are where we are. You know what I mean? And I don't think that right now that we're going to all get on one accord instantly and just snap into it and it's going to hurt.
Awesome. Okay, I got another caller. Let me get another caller in here from 951 area code. Caller, how are you? What's your name? Where are you calling from? Is my 951 caller there? Okay, how about my 475 caller? Caller from 475? Where are my people? Where are you guys? Okay, Dotcom, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
But if I could continue, I was just saying that we need to look more towards the future instead of looking at the past. But even the process to get to this point, they didn't start it with first initial generation. They worked towards the kids, and I think that we need to take the same approach as far as really accomplishing something. That's all.
Okay, so let me ask, are you a parent?
Hello?
Hello. Are you a parent?
Yes, I am.
Okay, as a parent and I'm listening to what you're saying, what does that conversation sound like with my child? Hello, do I have my caller from 840 still on the line?
Yes, this is Donna. Yes.
Hello, is that Donna from 840?
Yes, this is Donna, 840. Mhm.
Oh, okay. Is this Donna?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Listening to what the youngmen.com was saying about instilling it in the children as far as finances and things like that, what are some things that parents can do to teach their children about finances in a way that's going to make a difference as far as in politics?
I think the first thing that we have got to start on, certainly I'm a tax preparer, so I think understanding just some of the ways that you can, that will benefit you from the tax code in America is one thing. And certainly we can instill in
one second, one second. Callers, if you're not speaking, can you mute your phone? I'm getting some feedback there.
Okay, so some of the things that we can instill in our kids at a very young age is, it's okay to have your own business. You ain't always got to be looking for the job, okay? Because when you look at Jews, they don't, you know, you don't hear them on TV arguing about the Hispanics taking their job. You don't even hear those conversations, and it's simply because they teach them about ownership, business ownership, you know, owning your own home and all of that kind of stuff. So I think that's something that we need to instill in our kids very early.
Right, right. Okay, so business ownership would be a way.
Because somebody's got to teach it to say, give up on this generation and let's just put it in the next one. I agree it needs
right.
to be in the next generation, but you can't just give up on this generation.
You have to actually know it so you can teach it. I get that.
Right. So you don't give up on any. I don't think we give up on anybody. Or we shouldn't. I don't think it's too late for anybody, but I just think it's about changing the way we think about not being afraid.
Call us, mute your phones if you're not speaking, please.
I'm sorry, but what I was saying was, I wasn't saying to give up.
Go ahead.
Hello.com. He's having a bad connection. Do I have any other callers that would like to add?
I do want to add something to that. I agree we need to teach them financial responsibility, but we have to understand the root of the issues and where it comes from. A lot of the parents don't even understand finances to communicate that to our children. We need to start making sure if we don't understand something, we find a means for our children to learn the things we didn't know. As a business owner, it's a lot of stuff that I didn't know going into business that I had to learn the hard way as I went along. Nobody taught me how to manage credit, manage money properly. And I think I'm teaching that to my children now because I learned a hard lesson doing it, but it's nothing available. We need to get in the communities and make something available to these parents that don't understand these things, because it's easy to say, let's teach the youth, but there's nobody that really have a full understanding themselves to get out here and teach the youth. We need to start looking at ourselves and say, listen, what can I do? If I know I'm financially stable or if I know what needs to be taught, we need to get together as a community for our own children, because let's face it, every other race, they're ahead of the game because their children know finances early on. We're behind the eight ball. We're just starting to realize, you know what, if my children need to have a fighting chance, I got to teach them the way the world works. We've been teaching them how to survive in our neighborhoods and how not to get shot or things of that nature. We need to start teaching them other things other than how to survive being in a bad area. We need to teach them how to stabilize themselves so they can get out of that area and be more productive in life. And that's a hard thing to do when you don't know how to teach. If you don't know it, you can't teach it. You can say it all day long, but you can't teach it if you don't know how to teach it.
I have a caller from 630 area code. Caller, are you there? No. Okay. I just want to say that even if we, like, let's just say, okay, everybody's financially stable as far as the black community. Everybody becomes financially stable by opening, let's just say they open businesses. How does that translate into when I'm voting for someone, they're actually, how does that translate into I have someone in the election that cares about my views? How does that translate into that? Donna, you want to speak on that?
Yeah, because that's how we collectively pick candidates. Like, say that, I don't know, Bob is the guy who's going to represent us and we feel comfortable, then that's what we do. We fund Bob, so, you know, because money is what gets in the politics, unfortunately. So if we come to the table because we could afford to fund this candidate, put more money to their campaign so they can get in office to forward what our issues are or at least help with that agenda. I mean, that's just politics in America, you know. So, you know, but you have to, whoever has the most money kind of rules in this capitalist way. You know,
well, let's just say if we were, our money was there and financially we were set, how do we pick what agendas are the most important? If we got every black person on in one big room to discuss what agendas, you know, some of us are going to want to deal with police brutality. Some of us are going to want to deal with education. Some are going to want to deal with gay marriage, or let's just say any of those headlines or topics that are big in the news. Some are going to want to deal with the way the media portrays us. You know what I mean? How exactly do we figure out which agendas are the most important? You get what I'm saying? How exactly do we pick?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Well, sometimes you have to do these things simultaneously. You can't just say, let's fix one thing and then we'll move on to problem number two, because some of this some of these issues are so important that you have to work on them simultaneously. Okay, so, but, you know, one of the things we all kind of come together on is this police brutality and the killing of our children. I mean, there are some issues that just take more precedent over others, like at the end of the day, but some of them need to be dealt with simultaneously. Okay, but, you know, let me go back to some scenarios to say, okay, if we've got money in our neighborhood, okay, because going back to, if you look at Jews, it's not that Jews, you know, Jews spend money, but the one thing that they've learned how to do is they spend their money with each other, but they mastered the art of going to get other people's money to bring to their table. That's why they sell us all the widgets, so they can get our money to take back to us. Okay, but mathematically, just like we're always talking about spending money with each other, mathematically, if you figure that out mathematically, you see why we don't have money. Okay, because if I only got a dollar to spend and I pay my household bills and then I spend 50 cents with you and now you take some money out to pay your household bills and now the next person down to a quarter, mathematically, that's why we don't have money. Okay, we've got to figure out how to pull other people's money in to our agendas. Again, okay, that's what capitalism is. Okay, so, but to answer your original question, some of these issues are such to the magnitude that they kind of got to be dealt with simultaneously. So it's not one, you know, it's not like all the black people in America are going to come together and pick one agenda, because the agenda that's at the top of the list for me in Atlanta may not be the agenda that's on the top of the list in Hicktown, Texas. So,
or in Chicago.
Right. But collectively, there are issues that are so vitally important right now that they should be the top of the agenda no matter where you live. And the killing of our children has got to be the top of the agenda.
Now, let me ask you this, knowing that both presidential candidates are not going to address that issue. And even we have Obama, who is a black president, who has not addressed the issue. How do you choose who you're voting for? Because most people that I talk to, they're basically like, I'm not going to vote. And so, you know, if we don't vote, then it's just like standing out. But what should be our, you know, and I want to ask everyone this that's on the call, if you are voting, what is the reason why you're voting, and how are you choosing your candidate?
I mean, go ahead. Because I'm talking most of
you. This is Karima. I just wanted to make a comment real quick. We have a few callers on from our other show, Black Coffee and Adrian. So I wanted to make sure I'm having some trouble with the switchboard, being able to relate that to Yanni. So Black Coffee is on from 404-695. Caller from 229-2191 is on as well. Caller from 478-318 area code is on. Caller from 404.
Can I get the caller from 291?
Yes, this is Adrian Woods.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. Hello, everybody. To answer the question that she just asked about who we vote for and why, the reason I would vote for Hillary Clinton is because Hillary Clinton has over 40 years in politics. I mean, the experience and the qualifications are there. She was with a man who ran the country for 8 years. She spent her life dealing with health care for everyone, you know, national health care. She's spent her life for women's causes. She's spent her life in politics, and I don't see how Donald Trump could compare to what this woman has to offer.
Well, let me say this one thing. I'm not asking about her, you know, about the good things that she's done. What I'm saying is being that none of that matters when our black issues are not being addressed
right.
by Congress. Why, you get what I'm saying? I'm saying, why are you voting for her in relation to that fact right there? Like, right now, if your son was to be murdered right now, knowing
mm-hmm.
that she would not say a word about it, and still she would still have all of those good things about her as far as a
mm-hmm.
president goes. I'm saying, as black people, how do we choose who we're going to vote for?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, if you want to be realistic about it, no one that we vote for would really tackle those issues. I mean, Barack Obama was even very careful about tackling those issues. I mean, he would comment about it, but there hadn't been any bills passed to thwart any of that kind of activity. So I don't think the president himself or herself would do anything, to be honest. So we have to vote on them based on what they can do for the country, and we're in the country, so we live in this country. So my opinion is that I really don't think that whoever gets in office would do much of anything concerning black people getting killed or our sons and grandsons getting killed by policemen or just Klansmen or whatever.
Well,
I don't think that they would do anything.
Right. And let me ask you this question. We know they're not going to do anything. Do you think that the murders might increase? Because we already feel that we know that Donald Trump is a racist. You know what I mean? Like Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
she'll never say that, but we have a good idea that she may not be for black people either. So, I mean, what are you discussing with your children now as they're going to go into 4 years from now? You know, and if you have kids that are at least 10, they're going to be almost adults at the end of this. So
well, unfortunately,
I don't have
any children. I don't have any children, but I do discuss with my employees, which are I would say 80% black. I discuss
right.
with my nephew and other people in my family. I do discuss the police brutality and try to get them to conduct themselves in the best way they can. But as we know, even if they do conduct themselves, it still happens. Even if they comply, it still happens. So all we can do is lean on God, because we really cannot lean on politicians to protect us. I really do believe that. I don't think they're
right.
trying to protect us. I don't think they have a hand in anything dealing with police brutality, or you will see a decrease. We're not seeing a decrease in it.
Right.
We are seeing some people stepping up and saying it's wrong, like some police chiefs are saying that it's wrong, but in the end, nothing really happens except desk duty, administrative pay leave, and
right.
that's pretty 90% of the time. That's pretty much what happens.
Right. I have another caller from 336.
Well, good evening. I'm not from 336. This is Black Coffee. How y'all doing this evening?
Hey, Black Coffee.
Awesome. Let us know where you're from and what you do.
This is Black Coffee from Black Coffee Talk. I am from Metro Atlanta. And as a matter of fact, on our show, which will be on tomorrow night at 9 Eastern Time, we're also addressing the political issue. And basically, one of the things that has to be done is we have to step back and take a look at where our power lies. Now, first of all, we're talking about what politicians can do, et cetera, and we're talking about President Obama and his voice. But I'm going to be honest with you. We silenced any voice that he had by not showing up at midterm elections and other elections, giving him backing by Congress. Now, the thing about it is, no matter how much or how little money we have, if we turn out and vote in large numbers and these politicians know they're reelected on our base, they're going to have to face some of our issues in order to get us to come back again. We have to start at the local level, because that's where things happen. By the time it gets to the federal level, it's too late. It's all over. So we have
okay,
to
now what are some
level.
Things that what are some things that we can do to get the word out about having our issues dealt with at a local level first? Because my thing is, I feel like if people know better, they do better. So we have a lot of people that will say, black people, they never going to be nothing because they don't do this and they don't do that. But, you know, we are also responsible for getting the word out, those people that know. Right. You know what I'm saying? So what are some things, or where are some places that we could maybe go to find out how to get this done?
The first thing we're going to have to do is realize that why we think that way. So many, first of all, we've been trained not to trust each other. That came from slavery. So, you know, we kind of don't trust each other and have that crab in a barrel syndrome. So the first thing we're going to have to do is have to educate ourselves as to why we are that way. Now, there's some, and I am a big proponent for the book, Breaking the Curse of Women, everybody. Because
I'm sorry, what
does
book is it?
Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch. It talks about the tactics that were used in slavery that generationally we have fed to our children and to ourselves in order for self-preservation. They started out breaking us with the need for self-preservation as well as preservation for our children. So we taught our children these things from slavery and have created this mess. And then when certain things happen, like when Rosewood and Black Wall Street were created, you notice how it was destroyed, but we don't hear exactly details about how these things were destroyed, even though they were successful. And the reason for that is there has been a miseducation for us from our history. So the first thing we have to do is find out the truth about why we are where we are and the way we are. Because, first of all, we need to quit blaming each other all the time. We have to look at the psychological reasons behind this. It's a generational psychology that has been taught. And we fed into it, and because of the fact that we were trying to preserve ourselves, keep our children from being hung. And even, I'll give you an example. In the 60s, in Albany, Georgia, that's where I'm from, there was and it's in the National Civil Rights Museum everywhere, but folks don't really hear about Albany in the Civil Rights Movement. The reason being is because Albany was the hardest nut for Martin Luther King to crack. And the reason being was, before Martin Luther King ever got there, the sheriff and his cronies started killing young black people who were speaking out. So parents started stopping their children from going out to march.
Okay.
So he had already built up that wall. What I'm saying is that we don't want to talk about the conspiracy, because then we're pulling the race card and we're talking about, you know, and that's not responsible, because that went on 50, 60 years ago. No, baby, we put that in our children. Is something that spiritually we birth into each generation, because it's what's been fed to us for self-preservation. We got to break that curse before we can do anything.
Okay. I believe that. I have a caller from 919 that just came in. Caller, welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, you can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my name is Kim.
Hey, Kim. So we're basically today, we're talking about not only the election, who you want to vote for, you know, why, but also as a black person, if you're a mom or, you know, you have certain issues that we know are not being met by Congress, we're just talking about what are the ways, what are some things that we need to be doing as soon as whoever gets elected is elected. And, you know, if you have children, what are some things that you need to be teaching your children to prepare for these next coming 4 years?
Okay.
Hello, Kim, are you there? Did you want to speak? You don't have to. You could just listen if you want.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm having problems with my phone, but yes, I do have a small daughter. She's 8 years old, but I do make her aware of racism, and that really wasn't by choice. I had to start making her aware of racism actually at a younger age, because she's of darker complexion, so she started getting picked on about her skin color when she was like 5.
Wow.
And
This is where at school or where is this?
Yeah, happening? At school.
Okay.
At school. So I had to go ahead and unfortunately start talking to her about that. And then, of course, with all of the things that are going on in the news and her seeing stuff like that, I definitely make her aware of the issues in the black community. But as far as the election is concerned, I live in Georgia now, and I just found out today that there was an incident at one of the polls because I had planned on going to do my early, try to vote early before mm-hmm. the deadline, but that they had a poll down here that the guy was trying to vote for Hillary Clinton, and it kept switching his vote to Donald Trump.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that
I just found out about that. Like, yeah, that happened down here. My mom just told me about it today.
Right, and see, that's the other thing with me as far as we have our issues as black people, but I feel like there are so many things that are also at play here that we're really behind. And, you know, because we can say, yes, let's spend our money with each other. Let's do this, let's do that. But, you know, I also feel like not only spending the money, but we have, you know, our role models these days. A lot of the people, and you know, because we can talk about to our kids about the racism and about the police brutality, but I feel like another conversation is who you're choosing to listen to as far as music goes, what TV shows you're watching, because we have black people who have very big influential, you know, they're very big influences to what our kids are seeing and hearing every single day, and they're not addressing these issues either. You know what I mean? And a lot of times when they are, it's basically, it's just a, you know, while it's hot in the media today, they're talking about it, and then the next couple of days it's done. We have no role models as far as entertainment goes or things like that that are coming into our homes, you know, with people taking responsibility or just taking a stand or even just... Because we have a lot of black movies, let's just say, where black people are not being portrayed in a very respectful way. And so, you know, I think, do y'all think we need to have some, you know, start holding some of the actors or the rappers or singers accountable for some of what's also going on in the black community?
Definitely.
You know,
definitely.
I think that's a good point. That's a great point. We do need to hold people accountable, but, you know, we have to understand something. Until we're respected as a people in this country, all of these small things that we're trying to change is never going to change until people recognize us as equals or as people. We're still not looked at and respected as a race. So until that happens,
but why though? Because that's what I'm saying. I feel like let's just say that you're a little white kid who lives in a neighborhood where you don't even hardly see black people, but you could go right on VH1 and watch whatever ratchet TV show you want to, seeing black people acting crazy. I feel like a lot of the image is from that because most people are not around black people at all.
That's true, but you know what? The difference is it's just as many white shows on TV as it is black shows with the same type of portrayal of those people. However, the difference is more emphasis on us because, again, we're not respected as a race. They look at us differently because we don't even respect each other. One thing about it is a white person would lie.
How do they know whether we respect each other or not when they're not around us on a day-to-day basis? Most of them, their only image of black people is what they see on TV, on videos, on movies, here on the radio. That's it. So I'm just saying that I feel like those people are the ones that are getting the word out. When you go and do a movie as a black man and you are, let's just say, being abusive to your woman, you know what I'm saying? as like Idris Elba in a movie with Taraji Henson. You know, he's on the movie just kicking her butt the whole time. And so now people look at that and think that that's how we are. You know, in the 90s we had all of these movies where all of this gang violence was going on. And then the next thing you know, the gangs were like all over the country. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like when there's somebody that needs to be held accountable, because people can always say, well, black people don't respect each other. They don't do this. They don't do that. I mean, where I come from, there are some that are out of control, but it's not the majority. And I don't think that anybody feels that the majority of black people are out of control. Not black people, not people who are actually in the black neighborhood, because you know for a fact that there are more men taking care of their children than are not. You know that there are more men working now than there are on the corner selling drugs or committing violent crimes. And we don't even make up. Most of the people on welfare are white. Most of the people in jail for violent crimes are white. So I'm saying, how is it that this image of black people is being portrayed? I feel like it's really in the entertainment business where we need to kind of start getting those people to say, I can't do that role because it disrespects my race. I can't do that because it disrespects what I stand for. I can't do that because it's going to make another person think that my son is an animal. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like we do need to step up and respect each other, but I think it starts there with the images that's being portrayed to the masses. You know what I mean? Like, what do y'all think about that?
We don't control any. One problem is we need to start controlling what's being portrayed to us. And I agree with you. A lot of negative stuff is on TV that's portrayed. But number one, we have parents getting younger and younger every year.
Right.
The norm is now the norm. And when you have someone that is not fully developed mentally themselves, how can they teach somebody else to prepare for life? They can't, because they're not mentally prepared. So if they're running around here listening to rap songs in the club, doing all this stuff, what you think going to happen to their kids? They see that and they think that's the norm. That's the way I'm supposed to behave. That's what I'm supposed to follow. And that's it. We don't control anything unless we want to control it. I control what my children watch on TV. I control what they listen to. I control that. However, I can only control it but so long. When they walk out the door, it's around them whether you want it to be or not.
And I
can be at a stoplight and I hear the craziest stuff on a radio in somebody else's car. So it's up to us, not just parents, but the community has to start stepping up and people got to start looking at it as a whole. You're gonna always be somebody that's okay with.
Wait, is that Diamond speaking?
This is Black Coffee. I would like to break in for just a second. And what both of you are saying is actually very true. It's two different perspectives. But the thing that we have to do is we're going to have to start with the basics. We really have to start with the basics in that we know what goes on in communities. We have to influence who we can influence, those of us.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to remember is it took us 500 years to get to this point. We're not going to change it in one generation. That's what we have to remember. We can begin change now, but we're not going to change it in one generation. It's taken too long to get to be the point that it is. And we have to start looking at how we instill pride. Because what happens is, you know, frankly, okay, give you an example. I'm old enough to remember, and it ain't none of y'all business how old I am, but I will tell you this. I'm old enough to remember when Bill Clinton became president. And one of the reasons why Bill Clinton became president was he did address the needs of minorities and those that were looked over. He began something that we did not finish, and we can look back because I lived through those 8 years, and I saw the changes that he made. And y'all, I was a college-educated black woman dating college-educated black men who were living well in that economy. Now, my thing is that we started looking at material and what was being portrayed to us and thinking that we had made it. And that's where we let go of our children. If we look back to the 60s, even before there was integration and the elimination of the reason why we were more successful, and many of us were more successful in our own right during those times, if you do a comparison, the reason we were is because we were teaching our children pride, and there were certain things we did not accept. There were certain things
right.
we were standing against. We taught them their history. We taught them that they were wrong. Where we have made the mistake is we have allowed our children to think that their worth is in the material. And that is where they can get us. They can get us with the Nike swipe, or what sense do it make to pay $150 for a pair of shoes that was made for $2.
I feel like that goes back to the parents also, because
exactly.
the parents are buying the things. And,
right.
I mean, you go out here and you learn things in the world, but the first things that you learn that shape your character are always from home. You know, like if y'all remember when Dave Chappelle, when they said he went crazy, he did an interview with Oprah. And he was
yep.
talking about how they wanted him to put on a dress in the movie Blue Streak with Martin. They wanted him to play a prostitute so he could sneak Martin out of jail. And he was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. And he was just talking about how they really were, they took like maybe 2 days off of the movie to try to convince him to put this dress on. And he flat out would not do it. Now, one of the things that he said was, my blackness would not let me do that. Right? So that's having pride in our race. But then the media comes and makes a big deal and say, oh, he's crazy. He went back to Africa. He did this. He did that. And everybody goes with what the media says. So I'm saying, you know, just as black people, once again, what are some of the things that we can do to change that influence on our children? It's not only on our children. If someone was to be on the news right now, like let's just say back when Larry Davis, I don't know if y'all know Larry Davis from Harlem. He was a young kid who was selling crack for police. And he didn't bring them back the money, and they decided to basically lie and say that he had murdered all of these people. And so the media was able to influence what everybody was thinking, because I just feel like I know darn well that we're portrayed in ways that we're not even acting. Like, we're not those savage people that everybody seems to pretend that they think we are. So, you know, don't get me wrong, we can teach pride, we can do all of that, but I feel maybe we should start trying to dismantle some of that media attention that's going to
Some of that is our fault too, because
I feel like all of it is our fault, because
black people do not support good movies. I mean, we had Rosewood, we have the Nat Turner movie out now. Nat Turner movie should be made $100 million.
That we're not supporting
it.
I
just feel like it should be. But then when these movies come out about gangsters,
I don't think that is that we're not supporting it. When I look on BET, I see Tyler Perry movie. It's coming on every single time a commercial break comes on. When I see
I don't
Birth of a Nation, I see the advertisement. I've never seen the Birth of a Nation commercial.
I like Tyler Perry, but I don't really see Tyler Perry as a positive influence in the Madea movies.
No. What I'm saying is that when you have a project, let's just say that you have a movie that's about uplifting black people, are you going to promote it just as much as Tyler Perry is going to promote his movie? Because I feel like a lot of times they're saying, oh, black people will go pay to see Tyler Perry. There are black people who never even heard of Birth of a Nation because they never saw a commercial on it. I feel that a lot
that's
of the times
point.
When... Yeah, but that's not our fault, though.
Listen,
our fault. If you're not promoting, because that's just like any business. Whichever one is being promoted the most, that's the one that's usually going to get the most business. So if
you're
a
black person and you know this movie is out, you can go see the movie.
Check this out. Check this out.
Tom Hanks movie.
Check this out. Listen, y'all. Listen. Let me point something out. This is Black Coffee again. Now.
Okay.
initially when Birth of a Nation was about to come out and it was being made, it was getting wonderful hype. Do y'all right. know what happened that stopped it in those tracks and stopped the network from wanting to promote it?
Not sure.
Somebody went back and dug up that rape charge against what's my boy's name? Somebody went and drug it up, and that was put out there instead of his movie. And so many of us, and I heard so many of us going, well, if he out there raping folks, why are we going to go see what he got? And we went right. into the hype. We brought into the hype.
Wait, so the director of the movie Birth of a Nation has a rape charge?
Yes, he had a rape charge. He had a rape charge when he was in college that was proven to be false, and he was found not guilty. But that is not what the media put out there.
Wait, can everyone mute their phones that's not talking? I have some feedback coming in.
Is that you, Karima?
Yeah,
I thought so.
Yes, Karima, please mute that phone. So because the rape charge came out, that's why the movie didn't get as much. Because I never heard of that. I just want to say that. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear of
the rape charge
that the director had. But I feel like the media could be a lot more support. You know, I just want everybody to just think about for 1 second how much influence the media really has on everything that's going on. They are able to convince a whole nation that black people are crazy and that we're all about crime and welfare and we're lazy when we know darn well that our dollar is powering America. You know, so
I feel like
at the end of the day, we need to be able to come as one on what's the most important thing, because that was my question, is what are you going to be discussing with your children going forward? Because, I mean, I don't know if they could do this literally, but what if Donald Trump did get elected and just said, okay, slavery's back? What do we do? You know what I mean? I just feel like...
Actually, there is a way through the legal system that can be done. But I think that we're too big and able to resist that it wouldn't actually happen, first of all. But the thing is that there are subtle ways that we have to recognize. Like I said, what happened.
Not to cut you off, but we need to wrap up kind of fast because I have 3 minutes left.
Okay,
so
right quick, I'm going to say what happened with that rape charge when it was brought back up was then the mainstream media decided that it was too controversial to push the movie. Okay, so that was a subtle way to keep that, because that's too radical. Black people might start thinking they got too much power, and then they think they can do something, and then it's spread. But we have to look at the subtle. We really do.
And that's my musical cue. We'll talk to everybody later.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Baby girl, where your heart been? I see you looking cute while you had your lights in. Want to roll with me, baby? Come see. Enjoy it like it's a breeze in palm trees. Want to talk about it, baby? We can take it there. I love the way you smell and the way you wear your hair. We can go around the world, maybe everywhere. Shining brighter than a diamond, baby girl, you rare. Rock your locks. 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 You be on hot. I see you looking real good with your lock knots. You locked up like we about to skip bail. She rock a updo with a fishtail. Dabbles and such. And it looks so good.
to the Black Coffee Show with your host, Black Coffee, and your co-host, me, The Next Level, on WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio. We're coming to you every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be keeping you up to date on current events and love and relationships. No chasers, no fillers. This is definitely classy grown folks radio, y'all. So tune in, or if you want to get involved with the conversation or just listen, call in at 516-387-1251. Black coffee, y'all. So sweet, she don't even need no sugar.